Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We are going to take the questions that are requested by my colleagues, the Executive Manager Inspectorate, Mr. Sibi, and also the Executive Manager, Mamuleko. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to start to respond to questions. I will start with the question raised by Honorable Teng Begwayo about the issue of deviation. When we schedule for inspection, we not only sampling, there are three criteria that guide the scheduling of inspection. One is the media, two is the random sampling, three is the data that we get from the DHIS clinical data in terms of clinical outcomes. Now, if you look into the hard copy of the report that was provided, this one, page 158, it says early warning system inspections. Those were mostly based on the media and the clinical outcomes that were found according to the data that was on the DHIS. So if I move on to the other question, there was a question also from Honorable Tembegwayo about the monitoring and actions to be taken, the moment to sit down with facilities and province and district. As part of the inspection processes, the inspectors go and inspect, and I will try to couple that with a question raised by Honorable Maisela about the issue of the attitude or how the inspectors are treated during inspection. All inspections are unannounced, but on arrival at the facility, the inspectors will introduce themselves and start the process of inspection. Up to so far, we have not had any resistance. It was only one facility in KZN, and the inspectors called me. I immediately called the head of department, who instructed the facility that the inspectors must continue to do the inspection. Apart from that, we have never in all the provinces. In terms of the process, if it's a hospital, the inspectors will take 3 days, if it's a district or regional hospital. If it's a provincial tertiary hospital or a central hospital, the inspectors take the whole week, 5 days. It's a team of about 6 inspectors, which is headed by a deputy director and an admin officer on site to assist to gather the evidence and so on that the inspectors get. During the process of inspection, when the inspectors are inspecting, they will, the CEO, if it's a hospital, usually avail operational managers there or the matron or in other hospitals, including the clinical heads, are also forming part to be there during the process of inspection. And after we have inspected, whoever did accompany the inspector, they sign on the tool, and we will then take the tool and populate it on the database. Within 20 days, we avail results, which are preliminary results. But when we avail results, because we have seen that most of the issues are cutting across the facilities, we write letters to the HOD to say we have inspected these facilities. Kindly facilitate a central venue where everyone will come there so that we deal with the report. Why we are doing that is that some of the facilities that are not doing well can be able to see that, well, within the same province, we've got others who are doing well. We will take, it usually takes the whole day, depending on the number of facilities. In the Free State, the HOD usually forms part when we give the feedback. In KZN, in some instances, the MEC has formed part in those meetings and the HOD. In Limpopo, the MEC came only once, but usually the HOD comes. So it's the facilities that come, and they also come with the senior managers. In then what happens there, we take them through the findings. show them the evidence to say, this is the evidence. This is what we have found during the time of inspection. And all of them, they are there. They will take their reports. They will sign for the reports. We then give them 10 days to say, if you query and you are not in agreement with the report, write back to the office and say, I've received the report. I'm not in agreement with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the report. But in most cases, they have never really came back to us disagreeing with the report. It was only once in George Mukari where they were disagreeing because there were some other issues that the inspectors didn't find, but we went back and sorted it out. But in most cases, even the province, in these provinces, they also involve provincial managers. They also form part there. The district managers are also there. So it's a day's event when we give a feedback. There's a question that was asked also by Honorable Maisela, the issue of the follow-up. What do we do in terms, it was also asked by Honorable Mashalena, that what do we do in terms of the follow-up to make sure that the facilities are really implementing what we have identified. What we're supposed to be doing, which we have started to do, we are going to start to do it this year, we will issue a compliance notice. A compliance notice will clearly say, you have not complied with the following standards, and we have not complied with the following measures. You have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then report to the office. Facilities will then be given time, and the compliance notice will have a time frame to say, if we have, some of the things are quick. Maybe we were assessing and we found that in the emergency trolley, some of the adrenalines were out of stock or expired. We will say we want you to fix the emergency trolleys within 5 working days. And then they will respond to the office to say, we have fixed 1, 2, 3, but we were, for this report, we didn't do that exercise. But we have started to do that exercise this year. And then if going forward they are still failing to adhere to what the recommendations we have given, we will have to take the enforcement action. We are still in the office deliberating on the enforcement policy that will force the health establishments to make sure that they implement whatever gaps have been identified. But again, honorable members, for this report, we have not implemented the compliance notices and we have not implemented the enforcement policies because they were still at a developmental phase. It's only now that they are almost complete. And to respond to another question that was asked about honorable Maisela, facilities, are they giving scores? Yes, when we give reports, the reports have got scores. They get the scores, they will have to work with them and make sure that they also get tools. In the past, we also avail tools so that they can conduct self-assessment to see the progress. And the other question was, why are the hospitals scoring higher? It was asked by Honorable Kopano. Why are the hospitals scoring higher than the clinics? What we have noted is that hospitals are more resourced in terms compared to clinics. Hospitals, you will get that they've got dedicated clinicians who really focus on quality issues, who on day-to-day facilitate quality issues. But if you go to clinics, you get one nurse with one clerk doing everything throughout the day. Or if the clinic is well resourced, it's three nurses with one administration clerk, if there is. If there isn't, the same nurses will have to open files and come back. So we think that that is what is causing, because there will be one person for doing quality in primary health care, but that person will be based at the district office. Maybe it will only come once in 2 months in that clinic as part of an outreach, or once in 3 months. Whereas in a hospital, every day there is a person that is appointed to focus on quality issue, and that person is there on a daily basis. There was also a question that was asked in relation by Honorable Mashalela in relation to the sampling. Honorable members, I would like to take you back to this report. On page 10, the hard copy report, if you look on page 10, the table 1 and table 2, The CEO has already indicated that for that particular financial year, the target was 17%. Now, if you come to table one, that table excludes the specialized services. They were not part of the denominator, because for this financial year, we were still finalizing the relevant tools for specialized services like your TB hospitals, your psychiatric hospitals, your rehabilitation hospitals, the step-down facilities. So the denominator might differ with the denominator that is on the DHIS because it excludes some of the health establishments. The 17% that we had here, it was 17% based on primary health care clinics, district hospitals, regional hospital, provincial, tertiary, and central. If you look for that financial year, we were targeting 538 clinics. We were targeting 56 CHCs, that is in table one. We're also targeting 55 hospitals. If you further come to table two tries to explain the question that was raised by Honorable Makhlalela to say the numbers are not equal. If you go to Eastern Cape for that year, our denominator in terms of the establishment there, they were 830. And they have 8 districts, they have 26 sub-districts. And out of that 830, we had to target 124 clinics, 7 CHCs, 11 hospitals, which was 142. Why the number in Eastern Cape is big? It's because the number of facilities in that province. KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape have got more facilities than any other provinces. That is why the number remains high. The other question that was asked by the Honorable Chairperson was that she is missing to get some of the district in Eastern Cape. It's because this report was for the financial year. You will find that those facilities are there, Chair, but they were done in the previous year. We usually give facilities a period of 6 to 8 months so that they can really work on improvement. We don't do re-inspection immediately, depending on really what are the problems there. If it's critical problems, the inspection will be done immediately. Some of the districts will be missing in this report, not because we have not inspected them. You will find that they have been inspected in the outer years. And if you compare then in this report, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, in Mpumalanga, we had 577 health establishments as part of our denominator. And in Mpumalanga, we had 313. And out of this, our target in Limpopo was 98, in Mpumalanga was 54. But to respond directly to the question that was asked by Honorable Makhlalela about the number of 3 health establishments versus a certain number, the number that you were referring to, Honorable Makhlalela, was the number of facilities that were re-inspected, not the whole denominator. We re-inspected 3 because they were falling within the category of re-inspection of the establishment that performed below 50%. Meaning in this case, more facilities in Limpopo performed less than 50%. That is why we had to re-inspect more. Again, to respond to the work done and the presentation to the department, I think I have it was asked by Honorable Copano. I've already responded that we do these meetings with the provinces where we give them the findings in terms of the results. And also the issues that of the ideal clinic, I think I will ask Umama Libisi from the department to respond to the question of the ideal clinic here. And then I will ask other questions. I will hand over to Dr. Mdaweni to respond. But before that, to also respond to the issues of attitude. There was the question saying whose attitude and how are these attitudes measured. We have developed a questionnaire which we will avail to the committee. Really, in this case, the inspectors interview users. The sample users, they found the facility during the day of the inspection. The users will give their own opinion, and inspectors, they won't say, oh yeah, but we think you are wrong. That is why they would always look higher, because the users would always be grateful of what they get in the facility. They would always give us their opinion to say, no, I'm happy. I did manage to get my treatment, though I waited very long. But as long as they leave the facility with what they came for, to them, they are happy. So that really is a questionnaire that is asked to the users.
Thank you very much, Chair and Mr. Msibi. We were asked the question that what are we going to do to assist the Department of Health to prepare for NHI. As explained, the compliance judgment framework is one of the tools that we will be using to certify a health establishment as compliant with the norms and standards or non-compliant. But what is critical is that as we conduct the inspection, there is a template of a quality improvement plan that we leave with each and every facility. That already when the inspection is being conducted, it will identify those areas that need improvement. And moving forward, we will then also be putting systems in place that we monitor, that we receive those plans, and also there is a constant improvement. I think amongst other things which perhaps we need to bring to the attention of the committee, Honorable Chair, is that all the work that the office has done is within a limited staff complement that would then have to cover the entire country. But moving forward, and also with the NHI, and the increase in the complaints and also the inspections that needs to be conducted, it is certainly an area that would have to be looked into much deeper. Then we were also asked that what the recommendations that we shared with the committee today, where are they directed to, or they seem to be directed more at provincial level. Mr. Simi has already explained that indeed when we go back to the provinces to provide feedback, we always get the most senior, I think, management that would attend together with the staff. So we always try to make sure that as much as we would identify this, we wouldn't want a facilities to wait until we come back. So there should always be continuity if it is that we are in this to improve the quality of the care, and also the safety of the users of the health establishment. The core, I think, function and the mandate of the office to promote and to protect, the ultimate goal is that there should be safety and there should be quality care provided, which will then eventually improve the health outcomes and also improve the experiences of the users, in this case, the public, with regards to our health establishment. We also got a question that we gave a lot of reasons for non-compliance, and also that we are not necessarily, the office is not necessarily seen as a solution to the problems that are there. And I think it goes back to what I've just said and what my colleague has alluded to, that there are systems that are already in place. It is also true that some of the systems still need a further strengthening. But what is also key is those elements that are also taken forward by the department in terms of implementation as we come and regulate. And we hope that as we move forward and with further inspections, we'll start to provide and produce a report that would now start to provide a national trend, and also things that we're picking up, being in pockets of excellence or being issues that we've seen that are repetitive, and what other provinces have done to rectify that. So those are some of the things that the office is in discussion about, so that we don't only produce the annual inspection report, but we start to show more deeper analysis and bench, so that we can allow benchmarking to happen across the country. I think since you addressed this, that the scores that I was going to say, the number of clinics that seems to be limited, which we discussed within the various districts, were those of the re-inspections. And how we get to the average score, or let me say a provisional score, this would be when we have taken all of the hospitals, the CHCs, and the clinics that were inspected, and then using that compliance and judgment framework, then we'll come up with weight all of those measures and come up with a score that we provide to a particular facility.
I am going to respond to the question that is related to values and attitude in correlation with patients' care. Just to mention that, as Mr. Msibi has indicated, under values and attitude of staff, we ask patients during exit interview, once they have received their services, and in most instances, you'll find that when they have been waiting long at the clinic, they want to go home, they will give their opinion, and in most instances, when you ask them, they will tell you that they are happy because they at least received treatment on that day. And some of the questions that we'll ask, it will be, do you feel that you were treated with dignity and respect? Then do you feel that the nurse that you were attending to you is going to keep your information confidential? And in an ideal world, there must be a relationship between the values and attitude of the staff and patients' outcomes. But currently, because of one, we still need to do more in educating our patients so that at the end they can demand the services that they should be receiving at the facilities. Thank you.
Honourable members, there was also a question about between the metros and the provincial clinics in terms of performance. I will first start by answering the question by focusing on the report, page 176. In page 176, this is the overall in terms of the district. The report itself demonstrates that if you look into the report, most of the municipality clinic, according to the report, they did show some improvement, and there was a lot of also districts that also needed a lot of improvement. But this is in terms of the national. But if we go to to provinces, which we have not included that page here, during the feedback sessions, if we go to provinces, we usually find that municipality clinics are the ones having problems, because you will find a municipality clinic, small old two-room house, which was used for family planning before 1994. It's still there, still run by the municipality. It was only built to target a specific program, and it's struggling to now continue providing comprehensive package of care. But if we go province by province, we found clinics that are run by municipalities being the one that really needs more attention. In KwaZulu-Natal, it's the district of eThekwini is the one that needs more attention. In Western Cape, the city of Cape Town clinics are also the ones that are really having a lot of problems. But if we look into provinces, the municipality clinics are the one that needs more attention than the provincial clinics.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond on the question that was asked by Honorable Mahlalela in terms of the clinics and the ideal, the connection between the report and the ideal clinics. It's true that the figures of the ideal clinics are more than what we see in this report. And it's mainly because the questionnaire that is being used in this report is different than the one that is used for ideal clinics. And I think for us, if there's a need that, as they have now produced this report, our plan is that we need to go into the report and look at what of the facilities, health establishments that have been found in this report, how many of those are ideal clinics, so that we can see in terms of whether from the sustainability point of view, because the ideal clinic can be ideal today, but after a few months it can go back and become unideal. So we need to look at the sustainability of the ideal clinics in relation to moving forward towards the achieving the UHC. So there is a need for the office to collaborate with the department in terms of in the next questionnaires of the next year to include the questions of the ideal clinic, because that's where the country is going, so that when the report comes, we should have a way of bringing out the ideal clinics, the challenges that the ideal clinics are having in relation to what the report of the office is giving, so that at least at the end of the day, the honorable and the minister can understand one thing, that we have the system that is going as ideal clinic, and what percentage of those ideal clinics are really having problems to sustain the ideal status. I think that will be the way forward in terms of addressing the ideal clinic. And my understanding with the sampling that the office has talked about is really a sample, is small, and they're looking at all the facilities, the ideal and the non-ideal ones. So there's a need to separate that. And to just add, Chairperson, in terms of how we're taking the report forward, the National Department has sent now the teams to go to provinces to assist or to work with provinces in terms of improving where there is really challenges. And this report is, we're taking this as the basis of where we are going to start. And we are already have approached the office in terms of facilitating and assisting the teams that will be going to the provinces in terms of the teams understanding the report and taking the report forward with the province. We are looking at that collaboration soon in this few, this week, so that at least as the teams are going out in the next week or in a week or two, they will be well equipped to understand the challenges that the report has outlined and take it forward in terms of the provinces and the challenges that the provinces or the facilities within the provinces have. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, there's one question we were asked on the, I think it was referring to the picture on page 16 on patient of confidentiality versus respect and dignity. And the question was, the scores for respect and dignity appeared higher, but we were showing the picture that depicted an instance where that was not observed. What we're trying to say here, these are the critical deficiencies that we picked up when we conducted inspections, where you would find that the respect and dignity of a patient is compromised. So we're depicting that. However, if you look at the scores of 60 and then 40 or so, they are not high. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done within this subdomain. So we're not necessarily saying the facilities are doing well with regards to that. However, we just wanted to demonstrate some of the observations that we come across, but agreeably much more needs to be done.
No, thank you very much. I think all questions have been responded to. There's one area that I not at least there are some, maybe there's one or two questions that members would like to ask. Honorable Marcellus,
no, mine is not a question, Chair. It's just to to ask this. When she was presenting, when she dealt with the subdomain, she was able to say these are the areas. If you can just indicate in this document where do we find it? Because I could see she was reading somewhere. I was trying to follow her, I got lost. So that at least towards the meeting in province, some of the things we must be able to raise with them, the deficiencies that makes them not to perform. I saw you were reading somewhere, I got lost. If you can just give one example, I'm sure we'll take us through a particular page in one example, we'll then be able to follow the rest.
Thank you, Honorable.
Before that, sorry.
Thank you. Mine is also not a question, but it's also a comment, and I had two comments, but he already exhausted the first one. And the second one is just for an advice to say, in your introductory statement, make clear the points that you have mentioned right now, as you were responding to our questions, specifically the involvement with the province, you know, the way you deal with them. That was some of the things that you needed to say to us in order that we should not have asked certain questions. So I think that would help in going forward with this. Thank you.
Mine, I just wanted a point of clarity, though they try to increase. Because the reality is, in terms of the primary health, the clinics that are rendered by the municipality, constitutionally, it is the province that are responsible for the clinics. But unfortunately, now the municipality, they are running the clinics. For example, in the Western Cape, I think the province is having 27 clinics, and then 47 are run by the municipalities. Constitutionally, the municipality, they are just supposed to do the environmental health service. That is maybe the sanitation and water. But if they do more than what they expected to do, it becomes unfunded mandate. So don't you think it's a problem that you are facing? Because many municipalities, they take the money that's supposed to go for service delivery and do the health, of which is not there constitutionally, their responsibility. Don't you think that's where the problem lies?
Okay, you will add other comments and but also comment and the question. So I will allow you to respond to that last question.
Thank you, Chair. To answer on Honorable Matarela's question, the report in page 35, from page 35, what the CEO was explaining when she was saying in this domain, this was found to be a deficiency and so on. From page 35, it's per province. Page 35 is Eastern Cape, and then if you page and go through, you'll get all the provinces are there. Immediately after domain 7, it starts with the Free State. So in every province, you will get from domain 1 to domain 7. And after domain 7 is a new province, but all the deficiencies have been listed there.
Thank you very much. I think it has been quite a should I say, an empowering process with the challenges that we are having. We may have different views on what is happening in the sector. But I think Honorable Chairman Bayo touched on what I was then going to advise in moving forward. Because I wouldn't have asked about the western side of the Eastern Cape if up front would have said those that you wouldn't see we have done a perception. I don't know whether it is possible for you to also furnish us with that. I'm raising this because remember that we have got constituency offices for public representatives. I see here when I was reading this book that a clinic next to where I stay has been inspected. I'm interested. So I'm saying we would like to, because it's not only when we're here, when we go out, when we are called, because at times we're even called by a person you've never seen from a bar of soap. You can't even say, have a way to get my number, because I'm a public representative. I've been waiting here, no ambulance has not been coming. I'm in Gauteng, Ekurhuleni, I've called an ambulance 5 hours ago. So I'm saying, for you, for that information, I think it will then go to be very important. There's one area that I will be consistent on, which worries me. I think I raised it in one invitation when you come here. People are to be empowered to demand. But we don't balance that. Okay, empowered to demand so that even the attitude of health workers is something that is to be looked into. But we don't balance that with the attitude of the communities towards health care providers. Doctors are assaulted. Nurses are assaulted verbally and otherwise. We know that they are health workers that are physically assaulted by communities. And every time there is a gap in your report, when you talk about attitude and conduct, remember I said earlier, we, at one stage of our lives, we have been in the institution. We're not talking about things that, we talk about things that we, so, as you empower patients, because in that questionnaire, I'm compared to us. Do you have a questionnaire for health providers, healthcare providers, for them to reflect how they are treated by communities? At times I feel well and fair. I'm not defensive on those that have got an attitude. No. But there are those men and women who really throw all the weight and forget about themselves and think about this patient. And at times, an institution of this nature, of yourselves, must then begin. When we empower our people, we really tell them that don't treat them like this. So I think it's the third time, and I also reflected on this on a international hospital committee, which was in Devon. I was in the commission. I raised this again that it is because communities are not going to understand their responsibility. That a clinic is their clinic for them, with them, and therefore they must take care of that clinic because it is their clinic. I'm labeling on this because of the emphasis you made on that they must demand. As they demand, they want their rights. Rights goes with responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And responsibility is to take care of those people that are. So I think it was quite, the only question that I don't want to ask, I'm tempted, for those that are not complying, I haven't heard you, or maybe I've not come across that. But there was one hospital that we even told the minister that if we had powers, we'd have closed it down. If we had powers, we'd have closed that institution down. But I haven't heard you saying there are those that we, or maybe you haven't come across those that we refer them as the Act is saying in page 132, H2A, C and G. Maybe you have not come across, but as we are conducting, we're conducting an oversight, and I'm sure it's not a secret, we have reported that in the, if we were told, we would have closed one up or down at the time we conducted our oversight, but we couldn't, because we don't have those powers. The act is then saying you are to do A, B, C, D in the enforcement. But thank you very much. We, as we have said, I think Honorable Mashalela did say that, as I've said myself, when you open, provinces are coming here. And we want to point, do you only, that's my parting shot, do you only inspect those that are not doing well? Or, you know, I'm making an example. You know that Khodi scale is B. Have you ever gone to Khodi scale to inspect? Have you ever gone to Livingston? Have you ever gone to Steve Biko Academic Hospital? Because even the good ones, you must draw lessons and for to assist others, so that when you are making that comparison, you are able to say there is this which is in the public sector. Because there's a narrative out here, a narrative that is saying public hospitals are a place to die. Personally, I take an offense, because I know for a fact that not all of them, and I'm not trying to be defensive about that, not all of them are a place to die, but there are those that, so they're saying, as you are inspecting, try to balance, just be creative, try to balance those that we really think that they, yeah, but thank you very much. I think tomorrow, I so wish you can be here. We will, because at the end, it is a sector that is emotive and delicate, and our people, we must assist our people to understand where there are mistakes. We will do, own up to those mistakes, that is leadership. But I think as we move, I think that Parliament agreed in the amendment of this, it's one of the greatest achievements and good things that I think the National Department of Health thought about it, because it's opening, it's empowering everybody, and it's able to make us to be able to provide that leadership in areas where we are. But thank you very much. Until we meet again, if you want to come and observe, I'm inviting you. Personal invitations from me. You can for us, and I hope they are also invited. You are invited. Dinner is served to the old assembly, honourable members, and all of us, and you are invited to join us. We.